You're listening to OK Boomer with Ralph Odierna and Victoria Greenwood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, everyone. As you noticed, Ralph is not here today. It's actually our co-host of the day is going to be Katie Laughlin, and I'm going to be here. So the OK Boomer part, my main joke real quick, was that when I took time off, we had two boomers here. And now when Ralph takes time off, we have, I guess, two non-boomers. Not as exciting. Real quick, I wanted to thank our sponsor at the Pineapple Hills Saloon, Angela Marsden. She is a queen of queens. If you want to go in there and get some chicken wings, please do so. Support them. Small businesses, we need it right now in this crazy time with COVID. Anyway, let me introduce you once again to Katie Laughlin. Katie is an actor, a poet, a painter, and just a really freaking cool person.
Stop.
How you doing, Katie?
I'm so good. I'm so excited.
You guys get you just get to listen to me and Katie be weird for 50 minutes. So I don't really know what this is going to be about, you know, but that's what we're here for, right?
Yeah. Let's get weird.
Let's get weird with our chocolates.
Yeah.
And our coffee. We're emotional today, guys. I don't know if you feel it in the air. You know what's made me emotional? I don't know if you've seen anything recently on television that has, but I have watched the Val Kilmer documentary.
Mm.
Have you heard of it?
I have not.
You should watch it, dude.
What's it about?
His life. He had cancer and his whole thing. He had a tracheotomy thing. So he's got a whole, it's.
This is what you texted me about you crying over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got problems. If it's not that, it's something else that's random.
Yeah. No. It would probably make me cry too.
Yeah. But Katie, if you want to share with our audience a little bit about yourself, you're quite an eclectic human being and where you've lived.
Oh, yeah, I am. I was born in San Diego.
Yep.
La Jolla, La Jolla, however you want to say it.
Almost say La Jolla, dude.
La Jolla. Don't say it to them, though. Anybody who lives there, don't say that to them.
I'll stop when I leave the door then.
And then was adopted.
Uh-huh.
And moved to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
That's crazy, though.
Yeah. I don't remember much of it, though. So
at all?
I remember the house we had.
Okay.
Because it was like a military base house, and it was like all one level and super low. And my mom used to let me ride my bike around in the house.
Cute.
So, of course, you know, toddler me remembers that part.
Sure.
But, yeah, and then when my dad retired from the Navy, we lived in Atlanta.
So you're like all sorts of cool, and then you're Southern.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
It's okay. Bless their heart.
That's literally what my great grandma used to say. Anytime someone sucked just a tad bit, she'd be like, bless their heart.
Yeah, it's the best way to be an asshole without being an asshole.
Yeah.
You know? You're just like, oh, bless their heart.
That's what we need to bring back, everyone. We got to say bless your heart more often because there's a lot of assholes, I feel like, right now.
Yeah, but you don't sound like it.
No.
You sound like you're a good person.
Yeah, like you're trying.
Bless them.
Yes.
But on the inside, you're not rooting for them.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I feel that pretty hardcore right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the best part.
Yeah. Bless your heart.
Bless her heart.
And just some stuff that you have going on. I know, you know, artistically, you're always really cool because you write poems. You do these really badass splatter paintings. We could talk a little bit about that. I know you also acted in a film that's now gotten into a handful of film festivals, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What do you want to, can you share what it's about a little bit?
Yeah, so it's called Temporary Like a Virus.
Uh-huh.
And we did it during the quarantine, all completely over Zoom.
Crazy.
Which hindsight, it sucks. It sucks to do filming and acting over Zoom, but I mean, the cast and the director and writer, Chris Haas, I mean, it was just really, we pulled it all together.
Yeah.
And we started submitting to film festivals, and we are now accepted into 4.
That's awesome. Wait, and this is like a feature length film?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So it's a whole film that's basically all via Zoom.
Yeah, all Zoom. There's no
that's
live.
Insane.
Yeah. So no, it's crazy. I mean, 4 film festivals. Canada loves us.
Wow,
they
that's
really
good, dude.
Love us.
You get the Canadians on your side. I feel like that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, they're good people.
Yeah. Maple syrup.
Maple syrup.
Yeah, my mom's family, they helped discover Canada. So I feel like we should have like a free pass to go there. But when my brothers were on tour, they weren't the friendliest.
No.
When you're trying to, because they know. They know that you, like, want to stay. So they're like, they question you pretty hardcore. Like, why are you here for how long?
Oh, like, it's, like when you get there?
Yeah, because it's like the, I would say it's almost, they questioned me just as much as South America questioned me when I went there.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know you went to South America.
I went to Brazil.
Oh yeah, I did know that.
I dated a Brazilian.
Well, good for you.
You know? That's what that's what you're going to do when you date a Brazilian.
I guess so, yeah.
Once upon a time.
Good times, good memories.
Good memories, good times.
But Canada not being friendly, that's the first time I've heard that.
As far as, like, getting in.
Oh, okay.
And then the part that I was in, it was, like, I guess, like, the slum of Canada. So it was, like, they told us, like, the hotel, they're like, don't even leave change out in your car. Like, your window for five. Like, crazy hookers.
Go Canada.
Yeah. In your mind, you're like, I mean, there's nothing against sex workers, but it's just, this was impoverished. You know, it was, like, sad.
Yeah.
So it's just very supported. Different. No, it's very different. Very different.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, dude, you know, how are you doing emotionally with the climate of COVID and stuff?
I'm good. We're getting through it.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Everybody keep being safe.
Yeah.
Do the right thing. Be
it's
good
pretty
to each
crazy.
Other.
We don't know, you know, for acting and stuff. Do you think there's going to be some kind of, I don't know, another shutdown? How do you feel about it?
I feel like,
or does nothing really matter anymore? That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, is it just a simulation? Or
I feel like everything doesn't, it shouldn't matter anymore, and I constantly am debating whether or not to, like, run away to Maine.
Yeah,
and change my name.
You know, I rarely think about Maine.
Do you?
Yeah. You know, sometimes you think about it and you're like, oh yeah, that's up there.
Yeah.
So that was that moment for me. I was just like, oh, Maine. That exists. But yeah, no, I'd go to Maine.
I like how this. So Maine, if you're listening.
Yeah, Maine, we love you.
We love you, dude. Please take us. We need to be sheltered.
Yeah.
For the next couple of weeks, Ralph may not be here as well. So Katie is going to be stepping in. We may have a few other people join us. And just to get things kicked in, I mean, we thought about it might be interesting just for us to get to know each other together to
on a soul level.
On a soul level. There's this ridiculous, it's not that ridiculous because I guess we're going to be doing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least a handful of questions. There's 103.
That's fun.
And also, I don't know. So maybe this will break it into it too, right? Dating, mm-hmm. right? Weird. Weird thing.
Always weird.
Who does it right? Who does it wrong?
No one.
I don't know. I've always been awkward at it. Have you ever been on an online date? Like I can't say it right. Everyone makes fun of me for saying Tinder. Like meat is tender.
It's tender. It's tender loving.
The meat is tender.
The meat is tender.
And so are my dates.
They're
not because I've never been on it.
Me either.
You've never been on an online date?
I've never been on a
dating app. I don't know how, I mean, I have been on, as my bones crunch out of nervous, and I've downloaded them in my phone for different purposes.
Mm-hmm.
One was because I had a shitty ex-boyfriend situation, and I'm like, I got to go on this thing and see if I can find him, because I'm an FBI agent all of a sudden. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then the other reason was because of the after a breakup, I was like, I need some kind of validation, because that's where we're at with society, right?
Mm.
But I couldn't actually imagine communicating with some. That's what's weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get like a liker, like whatever it is, and like you talk for like 2 seconds, and then you never talk. Like that for me, at least, I'm not going to be like, so tell me about your life.
Yeah, I think that's what's weird to me about the whole thing. I don't know. I understand it. I get it. Like needing that validation and that confirmation that like you are wanted.
Yeah. I mean, it's, what was the joke? Someone sent me a meme today, I think. And it was like, are you going to tell me I'm beautiful today? Or do I have to go to a gas station?
Yeah, exactly. There's no man compliments you better than some random guy pumping gas into his Honda.
100%.
Like, you're the greatest thing he's ever seen.
I had one time.
I love that.
At a gas station, a guy actually was like, can I get your phone number? I'm like, no, I'm so sorry. I don't get my phone number out. He's like, can I get your Facebook? And I'm like,
what?
I was like, no, I'm okay. And he was like,
no, really.
And then he
fine.
Goes, Instagram? I'm like, what? And he goes, email. I'm like, dude,
no. What is your email? Oh my God.
Yeah, he was
ready to commit then and there with the email.
Yeah, I don't think there's been two times where I've been hit on by guys that I would have never dated, but that were so genuinely nice.
Mm-hmm.
That it was like, I remember them with fondness. I'm like, that was actually the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. One was this random guy was screaming. And I was like, God damn it. He's going to like catcall. This is going to be horrible.
Yeah, you're
like,
ready for it.
Well, you know, I'm gonna have to kick someone's ass. And he goes, hey, you. I'm like, what? And he's like, you know that song, California Girls, that the Beach Boys sing? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you wrote that song about people like you because you're beautiful. And I was just like, okay, that was really sweet. That was like the nicest thing.
Yeah, and you slept well that night.
I did. Yeah. And I think about it to this day, and that happened years ago.
See?
Then there was another guy at a Starbucks, because of course, this is where these things happen.
Yeah, random places.
Yeah, and it was the guy, rather than just being like, you're really attractive or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. He goes, hey. You're a really beautiful human. And he used the word human. And I think because it touched my soul.
Yeah. You feel like, oh my God.
And then
he walked away.
It wasn't like anything.
Disappeared into the ether.
Yeah. He didn't want anything from me.
Yeah. Those are the best ones where you're like, there's no pressure. It's not weird. You're not going to follow me to my car.
Have you had creepy? Like, what's the creepiest?
What's the creepiest?
I draw girls and monsters for this reason.
Yeah, exactly. No, I haven't had like a super creepy one. Of course, like I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I did have a moment in public when I was standing at the train station right near Universal and I was like waiting for a bus. And this was a few years ago. And some guy came up. I felt somebody like grab my ass.
No.
Yeah. And I thought it was somebody I knew for some reason. Like, you know, sometimes you just smack somebody's. So in my head, of course, like the only person who has the fucking audacity to do that is somebody
like
who
friend.
Knows you. Yeah. So I was like, oh, my God, who is here? I turn around.
Oh, my God.
Hi. I turn around and it's just this random guy and he's standing there laughing at me and he's like, you're hot.
Ew,
and I was like,
dude.
I just remember like, but in those moments, of course, like here right now, I can be like, oh, I'm going to just somebody
that's
up.
Is scary.
But in the moment, like you're just in such shock that somebody could have ever in the world done that to you.
And when you're alone and stuff like that's what people, it's so funny. This like this weirdness, because I remember being like going into high school is like kind of for me, like when guys at least started paying more attention to me, I guess, and being asked out by like peers and other people in general. And like, you know, this idea of like, don't be mean to them. Don't be mean. Don't be bitchy. Don't be this. And it's like at the end of the day, it's like it's this weird thing we train women, because then on the opposite end of the spectrum, if you're like, I'm not interested or like fuck off. People are like, hey, you know how much balls I took that guy to like come up and ask you out?
Yeah.
But it's like, there's a fine line, right? There's a fine line between the two things. It's not, they're not, every situation is different, but I think it's just really weird. It's a really weird thing to experience. And unless you're alone standing at a train station and your ass gets grabbed, people can't really say much about it because it's a fucking weird, uncomfortable thing.
Yeah. I think for me, exactly what you're going off of, like just this ability, like don't be mean, don't say anything. When I was standing there, like I remember looking around, there's other people around. There's people who have seen what just happened and nobody's saying anything. I'm not like, I'm not going to go off. It's like, you don't know somebody else they're capable of. Everyone was just standing there. And I think that like, I mean, having your ass grabbed, it sucks. But as a woman, that's not the first time or probably the last time that stuff's going to happen. So, but I had this moment when after all of it happened, people were just standing there watching. I was like, that's kind of more so. I mean, it's the problem that people think they can do that. But another part of the problem is that nobody says anything.
Yeah.
You know,
everybody are uncomfortable.
People are uncomfortable. So we allow these situations to just continue in a cycle to continue. Because nobody knows, we don't know what to say. We don't know how to respond or what to do. And it's just,
That's why we got to be knights, dude. That's why we got to walk around.
Sir Gawain.
So this is the most, I'm going to just go all over the place, everyone. So I apologize for how my brain is today. When Ralph isn't here to tame it. There was this guy in my high school. And I feel like when I was in high school, I really judged him really hard. Don't know his name. Can't remember his name. Wherever mm-hmm. you are, may your heart be blessed, sir.
Bless your heart.
Bless your heart. But I feel like at this point, I just want to be a vigilante and be yeah. this guy. I just want to be a vigilante of the people, of the women, of those who've been emotionally abused, those who are dismissed, sexually harassed. And this dude wore a fucking cape to school every day. He wore a goddamn cape, Katie, and spurs. He wore,
no,
he had literal spurs.
He was
on,
a cowboy.
A cowboy cape man.
Yeah, he was.
And like, I kid you not, he played like Dungeons. Of course he played Dungeons and Dragons. There's yeah. no way he couldn't have. He mm-hmm. had a cape on. And I remember one time he like came with chainmail on, like the full on like part knight, part cowboy. And I'm like, dude, you knew before anyone else did that that was cool.
Yeah.
And that's
now,
what I want to be.
As an adult, I'm like, I'm on Etsy looking yep. for like chainmail dresses.
Yeah. I want to be a cowboy vigilante
of
knight.
The night.
Yeah.
Vigilantes of the night.
Vigilantes of the night. Oh, that's a good segue into what was our torches? Hot boys
Hot
and torches.
Hot boys and torches, yeah.
Yeah. Two energy drinks into a broken heart.
Yeah.
Basically, we were in a play together. It was Macbeth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a hot boy. It's a long, weird story. None of it really makes sense other than the fact that we have a fictitious band
mm-hmm.
called Hot Boys and Torches. And yeah. our EP and our single is called Two Energy Drinks Into a Heartbreak.
Yeah.
I think that's like the commonality thing when we talk about art or even the poem you've written me is that my heart is constantly broken.
Mm-hmm.
So segueing into that, really freaking smooth.
Sorry, I put that title on you.
Oh, no, it's cool. I wanted to share it with the person that I'm currently speaking to. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know if I should share this poem with him just yet because mm-hmm. he might get like a...
Do it. Throw them in the deep end. That's how you weed out the weak. That's how you get rid of people who are just don't want to be there.
I'm going to share this specific episode
yeah.
with him, so then we'll know if he watched
Make
it or not.
Make them uncomfortable, because after that,
I don't know if that's possible.
If they stick around,
yeah.
you know, like they're not just in it for the superficial.
See, this is these are the real lessons, ladies and gentlemen. People don't
throw
tell you.
Throw people in the deep end.
Okay, this is so we're gonna go hard with these questions, dude.
Love
next
it.
Week. Who knows what anything will ever be about?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We know we're getting into other stuff anyway.
Okay.
Random question: if you could write a note to your younger self,
no,
what would you say in only three words?
No,
in only three words, Katie. What would you say?
Okay, it's gonna sound really dumb and like every
sure.
girl's ever wanted to say to themselves, but uh-huh. you are enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's freaking great, man.
Yeah, I think that mentality goes into so much of our lives where if you don't believe that you're enough, it just kind of weeds out into so many things
yeah.
in your life. And once you do know that about yourself, you're able to come as yourself and
sure.
show up as yourself. And I
yeah.
think it just... Yeah, probably that. What about you?
I mean, going along the same kind of realm, I think that's definitely something. You were enough. You were a value. Like those things of like the bull, because those are weird lessons, I think. Because I remember being like, literally, I think I was pretty privileged in like my sensibilities about life.
Mm-hmm.
Like I always had a really strong sense of self
mm-hmm.
And these like almost like fairy tale morals that I had and stories that I had that I
mm-hmm.
kind of like clung to as like Bible. I'm like, no, this is exists, like you can't tell me otherwise. And it wasn't until I got older did people tell me like you can't do this. And I remember being in high school being like, people are starting to tell me that I can't do these things. And those were the first opportunities in my mind that I gave it any breathing air. And I wish I wouldn't have.
What, like what things?
Just like you're not good enough for things.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
Whether it was acting, because I grew up acting, or
mm-hmm.
it was sports, or it was like I didn't have people explain relationships to me all that well. I was very naive. I went to a private school for a middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been bullied a lot. So it was like this being a cool kid was like not really a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like as I kind of progressed into my sense of self, which is always like very strong. People were telling me like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, they break it out of you.
Yeah, then you spend your whole adult life just trying to unlearn and to be like your cool childhood self.
Yeah, no, that's really what adulthood is. You break down all of those things that you were taught.
Yeah.
And you just find that little kid again and give it a hug.
All right. You want another question?
I guess, yeah.
In your life, What has been the biggest blessing in disguise?
The biggest blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Biggest blessings.
I guess heartbreak.
I already listened, dude. When I read that, I was like, All the breakups, all of them in one.
Well, yeah, but also heartbreak isn't just like romantic breakups. Heartbreak over losing loved ones,
yeah,
or
death,
friends,
yeah,
or any of those things. Heartbreak, or you can even break your own heart by,
for sure,
by doing something outside of your true nature, you know, that type of,
yeah,
stuff. And those heartbreaks, those hard moments, like where it sucks so bad.
Yeah.
Those are the moments where you learn the most about yourself.
Absolutely.
And that is always blessing.
I'm so glad that we have chocolates right next to us. We're talking about heartbreak. I'm like, I'm going to start eating all of them, man. Yeah, I think, you know, it's been interesting, the things that I've learned from my own personal heartbreaks. And mm-hmm. I've had lots of them.
I wrote a whole poem about it.
I think, you know, it's also this idea that I have that people are as loyal or love as hard as I do, and that in mm-hmm. its own right is kind of a heartbreak, because there's a naiveness to that not everyone, and my dad has always been very good at saying it, like, you know, not everyone's going to treat you the way you treat them, and mm-hmm. or see things the way you see them. And the sooner you understand that, the easier it'll be on yourself. So it's like, with that kind of mentality, it's kind of easier to see, like, okay, I'm different and that's okay, you mm-hmm. know. But I don't know, it also helps me weed out the people that I don't want any business talking to.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, with this day and age, and you know, you can have some input on this, social media is not helpful.
No.
Dating online is not helpful. Social media is not helpful. There's this, like, there's been tons of studies about, it's just this really artificial way of connecting with people. Mm-hmm. And it's really strange. It's like, you know, I remember having to go home in high school to use a computer. I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine having an iPhone in high school.
Yeah, I look at my younger siblings now.
It's crazy.
And it's just so crazy.
Yeah, my little sister, she's 9. She's an iPad and she uses it like a psychopath. I'm like, how do you do this, dude?
Oh, gosh. I think it's just, it warps our form of communication.
Yes.
It warps it into a fantasy reality,
yeah,
kind of game where you can present yourself however you want online.
Yes.
So,
and it's not real.
Yeah. And then it translates into trying to do that in real life and,
yeah,
present yourself in a certain way instead of just showing up as yourself, which is a human being. And that's,
yeah,
kind of really messy.
Yeah, and it is messy. And, you know, before, I think, too, there was a chance to mess up in life. And, like, you could maybe have not developed or mature points of view about things yet. Mm-hmm. Or you could be awkward and weird. You didn't have this pressure. I mean, we did, of course, like, when you're a little girl, like, you know, in the 90s, like, we had Britney Spears and stuff, but at the same time, no one really looked like Britney Spears in middle school. It's like we all had like weird crimped bangs and like blue like lip gloss and like crooked,
yeah,
teeth and shiny pants.
Mm-hmm.
And we were allowed to look that way. And now with social media and filters and everything, it's like these girls don't have a chance to be weird and awkward. And it's like without that weirdness and that awkwardness and the mm-hmm. chance to mess up and be wrong and be stupid on, like, just to be stupid and not in, like, you know, 5 years someone come back and be like, hey, you know that like weird thing that you said, let me make fun of you for it.
Yeah, I also think that whole concept goes into when we did that as kids, we were just trying to find ourselves.
Yeah, you know, there was like a chance to
have a discovery moment. And now you look back and you're like, okay, those eyebrows were not the best choice.
Yes.
We have that moment.
Personally attacked when you said that. Literally goes back to my graduation picture. I'm just like, those weren't even.
Exactly. You know, we had that moment. We found ourselves.
Yes. You learn not to go to a nail salon to get your eyebrows waxed.
Never do it.
I did it all the time.
Never do it. No, but you have that moment. Like when we were growing up, we had that moment. Nowadays, when kids grow up on social media, they're kind of told from the start what they're supposed to be like.
Yeah. And they're competing with adult women.
Yeah.
Which is really weird. It's like just it's weird. And it's like not only screw the men that may mistake a child for not being a child. Like, that's gross, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, it's for me, it's more of the emotional thing. They don't have a chance to really figure out who they are as people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's sad, man. Like, you don't get the opportunity. I mean, I'm still figuring out a lot of who I am as a person.
Yeah, and that's the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's like, get a chance to be a weird little kid. You don't get that very often.
No, you don't, because as an adult, like, there's...
You can be a weird adult like me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care about
I, like, posted a picture, because I was, like, having a nervous breakdown over it on social media. I was like, you know, you could post a picture with your ass out and you get like 1,000 likes. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to post a picture with me and the purple face mask on. And my dog has like this donut around his neck right now. So he doesn't like itch his hot spots. And we just look like a really weird, like elegant royal portrait.
Yeah, but those are both sides of who you are. And they can both be you.
Yes. You and that's what people don't let you. Yes. Mm-hmm. Be. And I feel like that's the weirdness of it. I always say I want a V for Vendetta social media. I want to burn that shit down, dude.
Yeah. It's so, it just informs a toxic mentality, in so many ways.
Imagine what would happen if tomorrow everyone woke up and like they went to go log on to their Facebook, their Instagram, all social media, TikTok, and there was a little icon that's just spinning and saying it doesn't exist anymore.
I think chaos, probably.
I feel like there'd be more riots over that than like most things.
That's awful.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that sad? I think about that constantly. That's why I want to burn it down.
Burn it down.
It's my chaos, dude.
Burn it down.
It's my chaos and my heartbreak.
Let's all go back to having the one landline per street.
Yeah.
So your neighbor could pick up your phone call, that type of thing.
Yeah, I don't even remember that.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't there when we were kids.
Okay.
But
I was like, I don't remember that.
I heard about it. I heard about it from my parents. Trust me.
I heard about it. It's real.
I heard about it. That happened.
That happened one time when you took the cans and you put the string. That was me and my cousins.
You had to walk the school uphill both ways.
Dude, yeah. That's like that's what I mean by having like a weird childhood, right?
Yeah.
So my great-grandma's house, me and my cousins, she had this backwash that would come out from her washing machine. And it was backwash. So it was like old, dirty water.
Cute.
Right? Yeah. We like broke into the pipe. We made her crazy. We broke into the pipe, so it like bled out into our play area, like which was just dirt. And we dug a hole and we made a Sea World, and we all swam in it. And that was.
You ever think about that concept, like when you were a kid?
Oh yeah,
the amount of stuff you did that is just like very not sanitary or good for your general health at all.
My cousin, so my great grandma, she had this property. It was like 2 acres. Like we weren't allowed inside until it was snake time, right? So
snack time or snake?
There were no snacks. Snacks was a slice of cheese, an otter pop, or one of those giant pickles from the giant jar. Those were our snacks, right?
Yummy.
But we could only go in for like a brief moment for those things. So we'd have to play outside until the snakes came out, which was at sundown. This is what I was told my whole life. And there were things that we would do. It was like my cousins and we would fight each other like till the death with things like rocks. Like we were evil to each other. It was like a group of like 6 of us that we would just like every day you'd wake up and it was like you're preparing for war. For like 5 hours until you had to come in because snakes would come out and like kill you.
Which is another form of war.
Yeah, which is my whole life makes sense, basically. But like
Survival mode. We
didn't even go inside to use the bathroom. Like my little boy cousins and stuff would just like pop a squat and like just like the side of my great grandma's house for whatever reason. The side of it is where the boys would go and like poop. They pooped on the side of her house.
Wow.
They pooped on the side of her house. I just have one. Ate weird sour grapes and the whole thing. It was a great life, dude. We used to use cardboard boxes and slide down her, like, she said, "You kids are ruining my embankment." That was always something she said because it was an embankment. I don't know.
Mm.
Anyway, I think you now know me a little bit better. Do you have stories like this, Katie?
As a kid.
Did you poop on the side of your grandma's house?
My grandma was very New York. So
if
she caught us pooping on the side of her house, like we would have been, there's no way.
I mean, so if we were caught, right, you have to be caught in order to get in trouble.
Yeah.
But so mm-hmm. my grandma at this point, I mean, you'd have to go pick a switch off the tree because they're Southern.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, we definitely
had switches.
No, I didn't. But my mom grew up very country and she would talk about you're trying to get like the thinnest one because you think it's not going to hurt.
Yeah,
but
they
those
make,
are the worst.
Yeah. And they make you go get a big one.
Yeah. No, I never pooped on the side of a house. In moral of the story,
Morally speaking, I've never done it.
I've peed on the side of a building as an adult. That I have done, but no, never as a kid. On the side of a building, my grandma probably.
Yeah.
Would have. Yeah. She was Catholic in New York.
All my brothers are going to be laughing their asses off because they literally. That's like what it was like. What for whatever reason. There was this one side of the house, even though she lived in acres of land, there was like closer to the
house. It just was like your designated spot.
It's really disgusting. Yeah, poop canal. This is why I invited you onto a podcast.
Oh my god, I'm going to get that tattooed.
You probably shouldn't, dude. If you did, though, you might be my hero.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to just put that out there.
A tramp stamp. Ralph, I hope you're listening.
About that. I'm so sorry, Ralph.
Yeah. This is what I was like, girl time, guys. We're going to have a girl time podcast.
AKA poop canal.
While we're eating chocolates and crying over heartbreak.
Yeah, that's about the theme.
Which, just to remind everyone, we have a lovely sponsor, and that is the Pineapple Hill Saloon. So if you want to stop by there, it's right by that In-N-Out. Don't go there. It sucks. I know Ralph says that a lot, but that line is terrible and you get like average food. You can go to the Pineapple Hill Saloon and get delicious, wonderful wings. Literally, they're the best wings I've ever had in my life.
And you like wings.
I do.
You like wings a lot.
I know.
Well, that's big.
Pineapple Hill Saloon. You heard it here ladies and gentlemen.
You heard it here first.
Let's go to another question, shall we?
Yeah.
from our studio audience,
from our studio which is just us.
Yeah, right. I know. Okay, what's something you're glad you'll never have to do again?
Oh.
Some more heartbreak shit? I'll never have to do that one again.
No, that's also a blessing in disguise.
I know,
but,
right?
Oh, gosh, something I'll never have to do again. That feels like...
There's like a lot of little weird ones.
There's
some weird ones,
but I feel like childhood.
There's like some heavy ones. You can get real heavy with that question.
Yeah, I could, but
real emotion. We're not actually trying to date, so that's also the difference, right?
No, I feel like probably just general blanket high school.
Yeah,
I probably never want to do that again.
Yeah,
like if I woke up tomorrow,
high school was awful, dude.
That was just no fun.
It was no fun. It was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Bullied every day.
Mm.
It was weird. Nothing was explained to me.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has like this, like in my high school was very definitely like very movie. It was like the cheerleaders, the jocks,
oh, really?
The nerds, the punk kids. And like I didn't fit in with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I dressed how I felt. Did I tell you this?
No.
Did I ever tell you my ninth grade, how weird I was? So by dressing how I feel doesn't mean like I wore a flannel and a Nirvana shirt. Like, that's cool. Like, I would dress up as a soccer player one day.
Oh.
Didn't play soccer yet there. another time I dressed up as like an 80s hair metal chick.
Okay.
Like in a very revealing outfit with fishnets. I wore fishnets to ninth grade history class.
Okay.
I would just dress how I felt, which made no sense because I didn't know how I felt about it.
Yeah. I was about to say, in ninth grade, how do you know how you felt?
I mean, the fact that I had that much courage to do that then, I could see why, I guess, and everyone went out of their way to really break that in me. They're like, let's attack this chick.
But also, you have like a bunch of kids who also don't know who they are.
Yeah. And they're like
trying to figure it out, judging everyone else who's trying to figure it out. And that's how you just get this big mess of everybody projecting all of their insecurities and fears on each other.
But high school's a good one.
Yeah.
Never again. Yeah. It was rough. My mom, bless her heart. I love my mom.
Yeah.
Ralph actually talks about her a lot on the show. She's been on the show. She's great. But she will probably act like she doesn't remember this. And she didn't say it out of being not nice. I think she was just genuinely trying to answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
I will never forget. I came home, and out of context, she doesn't know what I was going through throughout the day. I was very badly bullied by guys and girls, of course, saying opposite gross things. And I walked into her room, and I'm like, hey, Mom, I have a question. And she's like, yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
And I was like, if you were in high school, like, with me, would you be my friend?
She laughed.
This queen. Yeah, she literally, I think she took a moment. She's like,
She took a moment?
She's like, no, not only did she take a moment, she goes, probably not. And she's like, but this is, I was friends with everyone. You have to understand, I was friends with everyone. She's like, so I would have been nice to you, but like, and if anything, I think she was like trying to give me a compliment out of it. But of course, I'm a little kid and I don't understand.
Yeah, you just heard not your friend.
Yeah, I heard like, cool, that's awesome. So can I be homeschooled? Like, literally asked. And she's like, no, you need high school. It's going to even you out. I'm like, great.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, high school humbles you for sure.
Oh, yeah. It makes you, I feel like if you ever want to go through emotional torture, you just go through high school.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that movie with Drew Barrymore where she has to go back to high school? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm not very good with movies.
You don't know this movie? We're watching it later.
Okay.
She has to go back to high school in it. Like, she's like an undercover FBI agent and she has to go back to high school. And then when she was in high school, she was really badly bullied. She goes back to high school and she's like kind of cool.
So it's like, relive your fantasy of like being the cool
but
kid.
But she's also kind of, she's like bullied in it too.
But she's like an FBI agent, so nothing can really hurt her.
I mean, that's the whole premise of the film. That's how you get an arc, man.
There you go.
Oh, you know what we should talk about for a moment, Katie? While we have some chances, is your art and your stuff. Yeah. So your stuff. Besides poetry, because like I know you do speakeasy at the theater loft ensemble sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
With that, I mean, have you ever thought about doing it in a larger scope?
Yeah, I for sure have. I mean, I would like to.
Yeah.
This
is probably about initiating a little bit.
Yeah. It's just finding, for me, it's very much about finding the right places.
Sure.
To do something like that. I don't want to do like everything on a big scale because it's super personal to me. And
of course.
I'm writing is kind of one of the only places that I feel like I can fully express my feelings.
That's cool.
I'm not always the best at doing that. I kind of just shut down.
That's cool though. Some people, I mean, I can understand that. I feel similar.
Yeah. So writing is that space for me.
You're also a very talented actor.
Thank you.
You are. You're very talented. You're very funny.
Don't make me uncomfortable.
I know. Accept the compliment, Katie, as I stare into your soul.
Thank you.
And hug it and tell you you're good at what you do.
Thank you.
But it's true. I've seen you in many a play that we shall not name, but maybe weren't the best plays in general. And you were hilarious.
Thank
overall.
You.
Overall. And in general, you've always made me, I don't think there's anything I've ever really seen you in that you weren't good. So I'm excited for this film to really like take off. Are you doing some other stuff?
Yeah, so we did the temporary like a virus, the Zoom one that I told you about earlier.
Yes.
And then in the fall, we did another one that's kind of based off of a play that I was in few years ago.
Which is a fantastic character.
Yeah, and that play was really important for me at that time in my life. But we did a movie off of that. Kind of like a sequel moment for this character where she finds herself. I kind of play a very chaotic, manic pixie nurse who falls in love with a mental patient. But then she ends up leaving said mental patient and
so
finds
you would
herself.
Say, yeah. So then you get most manic pixie dream girls don't get an arc. They're usually at the cost of another man's arc, and that's why I hate them.
Yeah, and that was something the writer, actually, Chris Haas, when I was talking with him, that was something that was important for him with this character, was that she was that kind of character that's like everybody's fun little cute dream girl.
Yeah.
But she goes off to find herself and like what she wants for herself.
That's really awesome.
All of these things, which is really great. It's an awesome role as a woman to do something like that. Of just being alone in the world and trying to find your own way. And it's great. Has that inspired you?
Because I remember being in acting school and getting plays and having to like learn scene study, right? And being like, okay, you're assigned a scene or you pick a scene that you want to act out.
Mm-hmm.
And there being like 20,
mm-hmm.
20 plays in general for you to really choose. And it's all men, women scenes and they all have to do with breakups.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I remember having that realization, like, Jesus, like there's only a handful of really good parts and they're kind of all repetitive. And I remember sitting there and I'm like, I want to write something for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And like kind of taking the initiative to start doing that.
Yeah.
Because I think you're really talented at that stuff. So I think, you know, it'd be cool to see you just kind of flourish in that way.
In writing?
In writing.
Yeah.
In writing parts for women. Because I think, you know, it's sad to kind of really, I mean, we have a lot of independent theaters and stuff that do a ton of shows that aren't published. And it'd be hard to find those scenes and those things. But as far as general public published plays to perform,
mm-hmm.
there's only so many parts for women.
Yeah, because it's this idea that, you know, women, they're the wives, they're the girlfriends, they're, you know, they're going to Italy after a breakup to eat pasta and find themselves. Oh, and then while there, they fall in love again. And it's just this idea that, you know, women have a specific role. And it's interesting when you kind of start to step out of that.
Yeah.
And you women, like women are just, we're exactly the same. We do the same things. We have the same thought processes.
Yeah.
And I think they should be represented like that. Yeah. You know, we're human. We're messy. We make mistakes.
We're messy. We're gross. They poop on the side of their grandmother's house.
Yeah.
I'm not naming names.
It's kind of you, but.
Oh.
I'll name names.
Damn, dude. Damn. I'm not denying. Yeah. It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah. Plead the fifth on that one, honestly.
I mean, it's mainly Casey. He'll deal with it.
No, but it's just, it's this concept. Like women are literally everything that you can imagine under the sun. Every single woman, all different shapes, sizes, colors.
Yeah, and you're not allowed to be. And I think that's what's crazy. Like, there's just, of course, like everyone's like, oh, I don't want to see a woman do that because it's gross. And it's like, yeah, but we also don't want to see men do that either. Shit's gross.
Yeah.
Like there's a line between things being gross, things being funny, things being human. And I think, you know, as artists, it's our job to represent all aspects of those things.
Yeah.
And it gets shitty when they're represented in very two-dimensional layers, especially being someone else's arc, being another man's arc or helping their arc progress.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just a tool and a device. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's not very fulfilling.
Yeah, and it goes back to, like, what we were talking about earlier with social media and mm-hmm. girls. Like, when you're seeing on screen, when you're not seeing these natural human things about women, there's an idea of what adult women are supposed to be like. And it's perfect, and it's nice, and it's cute, and it's sweet.
You can't be bloated. You can't be strange. You can't, be gross. You can't burp. You can't, excuse me.
You're okay.
Right.
Burn social media
down. That's where we're beef or vendetta, one burp at a time, ladies and gentlemen.
Of the night.
That are watching on Facebook right now.
No, it's just that concept, and it goes into it even more when you see on screen that women are perfect and cute and happy-go-lucky all of the time, and the only time they're sad is when they get their heart broken.
Oh, my God. So, which is great that it's like the last, like, well, however many minutes we have, but that being said, it's so funny. I read some poem, and I can't remember who it was by, from like the 1800s. And this woman literally was like talking about being sad and how people don't want to be around you when you're sad, that you mm-hmm. have to be this happy at like whatever. And I posted something, which I have a really hard time posting anything of substance that's heavy online, right? Because mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very strange about doing, like, I'm sharing too much, and I get very guilty and shameful about it.
Mm.
But it's this idea that people think because you're a woman, you're an attractive woman, or you're a woman in general, or, you know, like for me, I have family in the entertainment industry, or you're in the entertainment industry in general, you're an artist. People think that they're entitled to have an opinion about how you feel or you present yourself.
Yeah. Well, everybody's
they're allowed to comment on it.
Yeah, everybody.
And you're an asshole for not responding in a certain way.
No.
Exactly.
No, you're never an asshole for having a genuine response to how you feel about something. And if somebody has done something or said something that makes you uncomfortable or you don't like it or whatever, you're never an asshole for responding according to your feelings about it.
But and that's where we get in this tricky, weird area, right? Mm-hmm. Women are supposed to be this like blow up doll, right? This blow up doll that you can say these weird passive, if you're hitting on, that's really what it is. You're hitting on them, right? And you're doing it in however which way you want to do it, or just comment on something that's like, honestly, you have no business talking to me like this. Mm-hmm. You have no business commenting on anything like this. Even when I had stuff with my, when my grandfather passed away, I had a ton of people talk to me in such a weird way. And it's like this weird entitlement. I could really only put my finger on it now as I've gotten older. But it's usually what happens to women.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, they don't talk this way to my brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had anyone talk this way to my cousin or my dad or men that I've dated. I hear them speak about their life experience. I've only ever heard of it from other women.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're not capable of handling your own emotions.
Is that
didn't
insane,
you know that, Victoria?
Right? I'm like, burn it all down.
Burn it down.
Burn it down.
No, it's this, it's, it goes back to that idea that we were talking about. Don't be mean.
Yes.
Don't be mean. Don't be
don't
a jerk.
Don't be a bitch.
Don't be a bitch. Don't say anything that's going to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, but also at the end of the day, fuck that a little bit.
Yeah.
If something, I spent a lot of my life, and still do, I'm still learning. I'm still not perfect at anything, ever. But you spend a lot of your life just being the sheltered version of yourself because you're so afraid of the response.
Yes.
And so afraid of other people's opinions or what they're going to think, because we live in a world that's so judgmental, that when you put that aside and you just show up authentically, which doesn't mean that you're a nice person all the time. Sometimes, sometimes you're...
Because you're not responsible for how other people feel.
You're responsible for your actions.
Yes.
If you do something of a malicious intent intentionally, you're responsible for that. But if you're speaking about your feelings or how somebody makes you feel or how their actions or comments make you feel, and you're speaking genuinely and authentically, if they're offended by that, then they're the one with the problem.
Yeah.
Instead of understanding, oh, sorry, my actions have offended you.
Dude, this is my whole point is circular now, you see. I want to go to Maine and I want to wear a cape and spurs and be
and
a vigilante.
Chain
yeah, and chainmail and be a vigilante of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I am trying to get better at telling people to fuck off. And that sounds like, oh, God, like some people who don't know me either think I'm a bitch because of the way I look, or people who know me think I'm too nice. There's no, it's so funny. I only live in extremes and I realize the extremes are a cage. It's you're to this, you're to that, you're to this. I'm just like, dude, I just am.
And yeah, you're just yourself.
That's all it is.
And some people will think you're the nicest person in the world.
And some people are going to think I'm awful. And I don't care anymore. I'm going to wear fucking spurs, dude, and kick down a door. I'm going to kick down every door to Shania Twain.
Oh, yes.
That's where I'm at.
I support you in that.
We have a couple minutes left, and I just want to remind everyone about our sponsor, the wonderful Pineapple Hill Saloon. Stop by, say hi to Angela if she's there. She's a queen. They have delicious, wonderful beer as well. We love a good beer every now and then, ladies and gentlemen. Or tequila. I personally get crazy on tequilas. So go do that at Pineapple Hill Saloon. Katie, can our viewers look you up somewhere? Speaking of burning down social media, do you
have... It's kind of contradictory.
That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna plug you all on social.
Oh no, it's just Katie Laughlin on social media.
How do we spell Laughlin?
Laughlin.
That's great.
And
Katie.
It's Katie, Katy, not IE.
You feel good about
it? It makes me mad because I don't get the stick. I don't get the magnets from all the shops.
Oh yeah,
it's
I
always
that.
IE. So
I understand that. But yeah, you have great splatter paintings and really cool things, and we can keep up to date with your laugh on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we'll do. You've been wonderful. Thank you for being on the show while Ralph is gone. Mm-hmm. I hope you're watching.
Yeah.
This girl talk, and you'll be back most likely next week.
Yeah, I hope so. If you like me.
Yeah. Who knows what we'll talk about then, everyone. This has been Victoria Greenwood signing out. Thank you so much, everybody, and take care. Bye bye.
You're listening to OK Boomer with Ralph Odierna and Victoria Greenwood, only on LA Talk Radio.